Harper Audio presents The Silver Chair by C.S. Lewis, performed by Jeremy Northam. Chapter 1. Behind the Gym. It was a dull autumn day, and Jill Pole was crying behind the gym. She was crying because they had been bullying her. This is not going to be a school story, so I shall say as little as possible about Jill's school, which is not a pleasant subject. It was co-educational, a school for both boys and girls, what used to be called a mixed school. Some said it was not nearly so mixed as the minds of the people who ran it. These people had the idea that boys and girls should be allowed to do what they liked, and unfortunately what 10 or 15 of the biggest boys and girls liked best was bullying the others. All sorts of things, horrid things, went on, which at an ordinary school would have been found out and stopped in half a term. But at this school they weren't. Or even if they were, the people who did them were not expelled or punished. The head said they were interesting psychological cases, and sent for them, and talked to them for hours. And if you knew the right sort of things to say to the head, the main result was that you became rather a favourite than otherwise. That was why Jill Pole was crying on that dull autumn day on the damp little path which runs between the back of the gym and the shrubbery. And she hadn't nearly finished her cry when a boy came round the corner of the gym whistling, with his hands in his pockets. He nearly ran into her. "Can't you look where you're going?" said Jill Pole. "All right," said the boy. "You needn't start." And then he noticed her face. "I say, Pole," he said. "What's up?" Jill only made faces, the sort you make when you're trying to say something, but find that if you speak you'll start crying again. "It's them, I suppose, as usual," said the boy grimly, digging his hands further into his pockets. Jill nodded. There was no need for her to say anything, even if she could have said it. They both knew. "Now look here," said the boy. "There's no good us all." He meant well, but he did talk rather like someone beginning a lecture. Jill suddenly flew into a temper, which is quite a likely thing to happen if you've been interrupted in a cry. "Oh, go away and mind your own business," she said. "Nobody asked you to come barging in, did they? And you're a nice person to start telling us what we all ought to do, aren't you? I suppose you mean we ought to spend all our time sucking up to them and currying favour and dancing attendance on them like you do." "Oh, law," said the boy, sitting down on the grassy bank at the edge of the shrubbery, and very quickly getting up again because the grass was soaking wet. His name, unfortunately, was Eustace Scrub, but he wasn't a bad sort. "Pole," he said, "is that fair? Have I been doing anything of the sort this term? Didn't I stand up to Carter about the rabbit? And didn't I keep the secret about Spivins? Under torture, too. And didn't I—" "I don't know, and I don't care," sobbed Jill. Scrub saw that she wasn't quite herself yet, and very sensibly offered her a peppermint. He had one too. Presently, Jill began to see things in a clearer light. "I'm sorry, Scrub," she said presently. "I wasn't fair. You have done all that, this term."
"Well, then wash out last term if you can," said Eustace. "I was a different chap then. I was... gosh, what a little tick I was." "Well, honestly, you were," said Jill. "You think there's been a change, then?" said Eustace. "It's not only me," said Jill. "Everyone's been saying so. They've noticed. Eleanor Blackstone heard Adela Pennyfather talking about it in our changing room yesterday, and she said, 'Someone's got hold of that Scrub kid. He's quite unmanageable this term. We shall have to attend to him next.'" Eustace gave a shudder. Everyone at Experiment House knew what it was like being attended to by them. Both children were quiet for a moment. The drops dripped off the laurel leaves. "Why were you so different last term?" said Jill presently. "A lot of queer things happened to me in the holes," said Eustace mysteriously. "What sort of things?" asked Jill. Eustace didn't say anything for quite a long time. Then he said, "Look here, Paul. You and I hate this place about as much as anybody can hate anything, don't we? I know I do, said Jill. Then I really think I can trust you. Damn good of you, said Jill. Yes, but this is a really terrific secret.